Shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your blessings to us, especially we thank you for the blessing of the gift of your Son. May we be ever attentive to his word and ready to apply it in our lives, for we ask it for his sake. Amen. You might like to have a seat, please. Well, what a beautiful, wonderful, majestic time is Christmas. So many things around us in society, in life, in the church, point us in that direction. The amazement and wonder of young children's expectant faces. The fairy lights that you see around town as you drive around in the evening. Presents around the tree, carols playing in the shops. And on a more spiritual level, I guess, in a sense, the Christmas services, the bells ringing, the beautiful Bible lessons once again, the choirs singing the carols and the canticles. All serving to retell the age-old story. But Christmas is not always a happy or positive time for everyone. I was listening to the radio a couple of days ago, and there was a person giving some statistics about Christmas. And in one analysis they'd done, they found that 45% or more of Australian people found that Christmas was a mixed time, not always happy, not always joyous. Yes, there was that side of it as well, but there were often other issues that arose for people because of the Christmas season. Another one of the figures that they'd found was that there is always a spike in alcohol-related hospital admissions at Christmas time. And I'm not sure that that's entirely people overindulging, so much as sometimes I think it's people sometimes drowning their sorrows. Our own personal crises can affect our celebrations of Christmas. We had a very recent funeral in our parish. It's a difficult time for people when that happens just around Christmas time. We've got another funeral coming up next week for a person who died during this past week, and they've got to hold over that celebration tinged with sadness. We've had a number of requests of late for aid and assistance. People struggling to make ends meet at Christmas time. And of course, Christmas celebrations, on the other hand, exacerbate people's loneliness. Perhaps Christmas for you is a time of bringing back previous tragedies and or previous memories of tragedies past at various Christmases. When we first arrived in Tasmania, over 20 years ago now, we knew as we came that my father on the mainland was dying of cancer. And they said 2 days before Christmas that it would be about 2 days before he passed away. As it transpired, it wasn't right on Christmas time, but those sort of memories are there in the background when you think, yes, we're celebrating Christmas. What happened 20-something years ago? On a larger scale, moving outwards a little bit from ourselves and our own personal experiences, I wonder how they're celebrating Christmas this year in far north Queensland or in Western Australia around the outskirts of Perth. And moving out even further still, I wonder how world events, things that are going on thousands of kilometres away, might still impinge upon us as we come to try to celebrate at this time. As we think about sniper attacks in Prague, about wars in Ukraine and other parts of the world, and most poignantly, I think, about the ongoing war in the Middle East, the very ground where the Prince of Peace trod, and yet facing such crises at this time. We sing of with the angels of peace on earth, goodwill to mankind. But what does that even mean when there's so much going on in the background? I think part of the answer is we have to look at the whole story of Christmas. If we just take the message of the angels, if we just take the glory of the birth of the child, the star that appeared in the heavens and so on, we don't capture the whole story. But God seldom acts in just one single step to achieve all the things that we think we would like him to achieve. Often he works through a process. He'll take his good time to bring about his good purposes. We think about this child, this one instant in history when the child was born. A child, what can a child do? A child can do very little on their own and of their own accord. But if you remember back to the story of Simeon, when the infant Jesus was presented in the temple, the aged Simeon saw with his own eyes what he declared was the salvation that God had long promised. And he declared that this child, this one individual child, would be destined for the rising and falling of many in Israel and throughout many nations. This one child is not just our childhood's pattern, as the carol says that we often sing, but this child was the one through whom God would effect his total plan, his overall purposes for all of creation, and particularly for us, his loved individuals, the ones created in his image. This child was the one through whom God would develop and unfold all his purposes that he'd held in store even since the beginning of creation. If you remember back to the creation story, the Lord predicts to Adam and Eve that one day the child of the woman would crush the serpent's head. This is the fulfillment of God's plans and purposes for humankind since the very beginning. Yes, all the wonderful trappings of Christmas are great and joyous, beautiful and uplifting. But why are we able to celebrate these special things even through the midst of all the other struggles that I'd mentioned earlier? Well, I think it's because there is more than just the beautiful trappings. There is more to the story than just what we celebrate on this one day of this one child. The lovely elements that we recognise and celebrate at Christmas are just the beginning of the story, in a sense. Some years ago now, there was a Christian group, a group of young men called the Ball Brothers, who released a song at Christmas, a song about Christmas. But their song said, "It's all about the cross." I want to quote to you a few lines from that song this evening. They sang, "It's not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright shining star. It's not all about the wise men who travelled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross." And then a refrain that crops up throughout the song says, "The beginning of the story is wonderful and great, but it's the ending that can save you, and that's why we celebrate." The reason we can celebrate, truly celebrate, with all the trappings, all the beauty, all the grandeur and wonder, whatever our personal circumstances might be, is because Christmas is only the beginning of what God has in store. It's only the beginning of God effecting his whole wonderful plan for our salvation, for our rescue, for our redemption. We read earlier a portion of a prophecy from Isaiah. There's another prophecy in Isaiah that talks about this child, this one child who would be born. And there, through Isaiah, the Lord says, "You shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. God with us. God come to identify with us. God come to be one with us. So that through the whole story of what God has in store through Jesus, we might truly become one with him. God's wonderful plan of rescue, salvation, and redemption.